everybody. We're going to start this broadcast online. It says, we're live, and we now start the recording, and we're up and going. How exciting. I'll go ahead and put on the chimes, just to turn off the chimes just a moment. For a moment on the video. Welcome tonight, and so good to have you here for our Tuesday night celebration of life. Thanks for coming. I know there's just so many things going on in so many of your lives to actually take time out of your life to sit and work on you. What a gift to give yourself, and I'm going to do my very best to show up for you tonight in a way that can serve. The topic tonight is just so timely. It's joy in the journey. It's like joy in spite of the firestorms in the journey. My sweetheart's sitting here next to me. It's good to have her with us tonight. I welcomed her a moment ago, and she said, oh, I'm just so glad to be here with you. So it's just great to have Ramona here by my side. Each Tuesday night, for those of you here for the first time, we spend time on one of the qualities of an intentional creator. We start off with connection with people, and then we move to mental creation, learning how to use our mind in a way that we can have inspired ideas and impressions that ignite our passion. Then we move to physical creation, actually how to do the work of creation. And I might emphasize, it is so interesting. We do want it to be easy, but there isn't an easy way to do it. There's an easier way to do it. And the easier way to do the work of creation, that which none of us can avoid, is to do it passion-driven, where we can work without counting the cost or tracking the time. This is a great thing to do. I mentioned last week, I'll mention again, it was so fun to go through those 5 all-nighters in a row doing the last edit on the book before it went to print, which could not have been done physically, just could not have been done without an awful lot of caffeine or passion. And the passion just drove those actions to go way beyond human experience. Excuse me just a moment, I'm getting a sneeze. So we want to be able to ignite our passion, then use that passion to do the work of creation. It makes it so fun to do whatever is required to create intangible reality, that which we have seen so clearly in our minds. So if we can get that vision also, it's important to note that when Og was standing at the window of the pawn shop, he's got 3 $10 bills in his pocket, the gun's $29, a couple of bullets, that's all he needed, go back to the dingy hotel room and end his life. He made the decision to turn and walk in a different direction. It's really important for us to know this. He did not know what was before him. He didn't get this bright idea, I'll go to the library, read all these self-help books, become the editor of Success Magazine. He didn't know any of that. He just made the decision to turn and go a different direction. So if we're stuck and we're waiting for the light of inspiration, know which direction to go. Go in any direction. It doesn't matter. Once you start walking, inspiration can then start showing up. So sometimes we must be in action. We must be the firefly who has light shining only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. So let us take that piece. Then we started talking about discipline and structure. We had a fun conversation last week about these thought processes. They just hammer us. And this is particularly true when something's happened to us that's unexplainable, or someone offends us or takes advantages of us or hurts us. And these thoughts will not stop. They are obsessive. They will continually spin and spin and spin and spin, trying to answer the unanswerable. When something has happened to us, and Ron and I were just talking about this yesterday, when something happens to us that is frustrating or overwhelming, the only answer is to start creating something bigger than the problem. Something bigger. I see the only answer. We want to understand whether people are experiencing, because understanding can assist. But the single greatest tool is to go into our mind and create something exciting that ignites our passion, and go create that something exciting, because it's in the work of that new thing, creating something better, feeling the energy of creation, can help push away that which is discouraging. I promise you, just as soon as you go back and dwell on it, it'll be back like a demon be on top of you. So stay in creation. It's in creation, creating, if you will, this protective force field around us of, I'm in creation day, not going there today, I'm staying in creation. It's this force field. If you just envision this force field around you, about 3 feet radius out here, so it's about 6 feet in diameter. Of course, that's counting me, that'd make it 8 or 9. But we've got this force field all the way around us. And it's our vision in motion, doing physical creation. That's what creates this. It keeps all of that other stuff away from us. Those things out there, beyond this rim of protection, those are the firestorms. We cannot stay in the firestorm. We must rise above it, push it away. And the only way to push it away is to not go there today. Stay in creation. Stay in action. Your genius shows up. You're being authentic, anthosectic, acting on your true self, your goodness. You're embracing your talents. You've got the force of creation, the power of creation working with you in this process. And as this joy builds around this process, it'll keep those firestorms away from us. Everybody got this vision? This is an important and powerful thing for us to do, to make sure that we have these pieces taken care of. Now, with that thought process in mind, it's time for us to focus on the journey. That's tonight. How do we find joy in this journey? We know that we have the preparation. We know that we have the realization. And in between those two is the work of creation. That's the journey. It's crossing over this bridge, doing the work until we get to realization. How do we find joy in this process? Because sometimes it can be boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome. It can be. So what do? Number one thing, and of all the things we've discussed, if you've been on this program before, let's go back and do it tonight. Let's actually do this piece. It could be the single greatest decision you make in your life. You ready for it? If you're watching this on video, you can see my hands in front of me as if I'm holding a 5-pound block of clay. Here I am holding my clay. And I'll ask the question, what am I going to build with my clay? What am I going to build with this? Because almost all of us have as our primary source of dissatisfaction in the journey, that which brings us disappointment and discouragement, is when we're holding this clay, but our eyes are not on it. Our eyes are everywhere else. I wish I had his clay. I wish I had her clay. That means I wish I had her looks, or his hair, or her body type, or his money, or his car, his house, his relationships, his children. Our eyes are everywhere else, but on our own clay. But this is our clay. I don't want my clay. Well, that isn't the choice. We don't get between door A, B, or C, or 1, 2, or 3. This is the clay we've been given. And the moment we face this truth, this is the truth, and we look at our clay, and we stop looking around at everybody else's and what we don't have, and we start focusing on our single greatest gifts, and we all have them, and we start focusing on, what can I do? It's a key to take my clay and create the most I can with my clay. What can I do with this clay? Our entire life will shift. There are two really important pivotal moments in all of the qualities. One, I decide I don't want a life of ease. I'm going to engage in life. I'm going to exercise the greatest secret of success. I'm going to stop focusing on my stuff in my sack. I'm going to ask, is anybody else suffering from a similar wound? I look outward. Ease, outward. When I'm in mental creation, if I've made the decision to engage. I'm already there. I believe the next great decision is right here. Let go of ease, engage, focus on others. As it relates to the joy in my own journey, turn my eyes on my own clay. Is that important? What am I going to do with this? I get the question all the time. Dave, I feel so uncomfortable, like I'm being sinful, because I should be more grateful. I've got a wonderful spouse or beautiful children, or I've got so much to be grateful for, but I'm just so unhappy. I want more. Is that bad? I say no. This is what we're supposed to do, so long as the want more is want more with my clay. So we put our eyes upon the clay, and we own our clay. We honor the gift. This is our gift. We don't get somebody else's. I'd like to be 7'5" and play basketball. Wouldn't that be great? Have a $15 million a year contract, et cetera, et cetera. Wouldn't that be great? Well, I'm not. I'm 5'11". It's not going to happen. My clay is 5'11". I'm playing college football, 175 pounds. I wrote in the book that, you know, every time I hit someone, you know, another body part failed. I mean, I could go down the list from a broken hand to separated shoulder to a bulging disc in my back to torn ligaments in my left knee and my right ankle to smashed shin. Just go right down the list. It's all there. That wasn't going to be me. I did not have the body to play professional football. That was the truth. That was my clay. But what could I take with the tenacity and drive? What could I do with what drove me to be the very best there and apply it within my natural strengths and the clay I've been given? What could I do with this? Because seeing the gift is honoring the gift. Taking the gift and creating the most we can with it, that's honoring the giver of the gift. This is a beautiful place to be. You see? It's a principle. You're supposed to take what you've been given and create the most you can with that. That's what you're supposed to do. Perhaps that'll help us understand better why it's such an offense to the power that governs this universe when we just want it easy. Want a life without stress or pain or frustration, time freedom, financial freedom. What we're saying is, I don't want to honor my gift, nor do I want to honor the giver of the gift. I just want somebody else's clay, and there are plenty of people out there to tell you, all you got to do is say, I'm worthy to receive. I'm worthy to receive. Your wish is my command. You know, just give it to me. Hand it to me. Visualize that Lamborghini in my garage, and it'll show up. Can you imagine the offense to the power that would govern this universe? Imagine the offense. Because we've been given this wonderful gift, our clay. Instead of honoring it, we want something else. Instead of taking this and creating it, we just want it given to us. It'll never happen. It will never happen in your lifetime. This is a pivotal decision tonight. But I don't like my life. I don't like my relationship. Okay. Then let's take what you have and begin the process of creating the most we can with it. There's a surprise, by the way. Here's the surprise. When we stay focused here, creating the most we can with this, and we're fully maximizing the gifts we've been given, it's been my experience that we get endowed with more gifts. We get more clay. But we only get more clay when we're willing to use all that we have in the service of others. Engaged in life, embracing principles, connecting, serving, creating value everywhere we go with everyone we meet, and enriching the world. Here we are, building our clay. This is the definition of gratitude. The definition of gratitude is to honor our gifts owning them, and then creating the most we can with our gifts. That's the definition of gratitude. Very simple. Now, if we'll do this, we can actually begin to find a joy in the journey, because there is no joy in wanting somebody else's clay, because it'll never happen. We don't get somebody else's clay. Some people will cheat and rob and steal and sell drugs. They'll do anything to try to do it. They never find joy in that process, because joy is not to be found in stealing somebody else's clay. Joy is only found in owning and creating the most that we can, because that's when we get to meet who we are. This is our clay. When we own the clay, we're owning ourselves. We're owning our character, our being. And we're saying, I'm going to make the most as I can with who I am. I'm going to stretch and grow and become all that I can become. This clay I'm holding in my hands is a metaphor for I could hold myself right here, touch my chest. This is me. This is my clay. What am I going to do with it? That's gratitude. Isn't that a wonderful concept? So that's the first piece. The second piece of finding joy in the journey, this is a hard one. Khalil Gibran wrote a book called The Prophet. It's about page 27 of that book. Someone asks him about sorrow and joy. Joy and sorrow, what does it mean? And he makes the comment. He talks about the lute, speaking of one of those little flutes that you play. He says, this lute was not this lute that gives you this beautiful music. Was it not carved out by knives? And the cup that you sip, was it not forged in the furnace of adversity? That the more our heart is hollowed out by sorrow, the more capacity we have to feel joy. Wow, I want to feel a lot of joy. Okay, well, you need to have a tool come in here and kind of carve out some room for the joy. Ouch. Ooh, I don't like that. Oh, but you'll love the joy that fills this space. You will. Then he makes an argument at the end that's absolutely a true principle. It's this. Joy and sorrow are inseparable. The way he talks about it, while one sits at your board, which is at your table, the other is lying, resting on your bed. The next day it will wake up, and joy will sleep while sorrow visits us. We get one or the other. And that's just life. And how many of us have decided to embrace this piece of life? It's a whole lot easier to embrace this when it's over than when we're in the middle of it. When we're in the middle of a firestorm, and we all have varying degrees of firestorms in our lives. When we're in the middle of a firestorm, it's hard. It's very hard to embrace that and be grateful for the moment. I know that I've had a couple interesting ones lately, getting everything put together. It's caused me to want to work on a couple of characteristics that I found myself lacking, that I know that if I could master them, if I could just master this, I have an opportunity to work closely in our community with a gentleman who is just so kind. He happens to be an attorney, which is as strange as an attorney is kind. Just an amazing human being. His first name is David, too, which is fun. Just so kind. And every time I spend time in council with him working on some projects here in our community, I come back and I say, I want to learn how to be more kind. Now, if I'm conscious in the moment, I can be kind. That is who I am. But I want to root out some of these thought processes that show up that cause me from being less than kind. Somehow be kind. That's mine. So when we get one of these moments that's sorrowful or painful, it can help expose us to areas that we're definitely going to want to work on. Because when it's that raw, boy, there's just nothing holding it back from showing up. Wow, I don't like that one. That one I want to work on. So let's take a look at these moments of sorrow and see what we can do with them. And we want to go back to the topic of agape love. Because Og says, give me challenges, obstacles that other people have failed. And I go, what? Og's trying to tell us that as we're walking through life, we're in the journey, and life is a journey. Some want to get to a destination. I'm finally rich, I don't have any more problems, I don't have to deal with annoying people. Probably we'll never get there, if that's really how we're feeling. But in this journey, which is life, we're going to bump into challenges. If we could, it's a big if we could look at that challenge in the moment and say, I don't know whether or not that's there because of a decision that I've made. It's possible. If it is, then let's choose to make a different decision next time. So that's one. Number two, is this challenge uniquely put in front of me to prepare me? Well, I don't know any challenge that couldn't do that if we viewed it that way. I don't know that we want to say that every challenge is, you know, like an act of God, for an example. I don't want to say that. It could be true, but I don't want to say that. I just know that it could be something from which we could learn if we choose to. That's our choice. So wherever it came from, if it's from a decision we've made, we make a different decision. If it's just a life circumstances, then we learn from it. And it's a furnace of adversity. It starts to remove some of the impurities, if you will, from us so that we can show up more whole and more complete and more real and genuine and authentic. Now, if somebody's in the middle of one of these things, they may be saying, Dave, this is a bunch of crap. Now, please. You know, I've been right down to the note and the gun. You know that. I've shared it with you before. I don't want to take it lightly because there are some of these things that are happening in people's lives right now that are just so overwhelming. It's almost crippling. It's going to require a Herculean effort, something more than almost anyone's ever had to pay in the recent past. You go back to World War II and you go back to other times, there were generations that paid for things at a very high price. This recession has just kicked the poop out of a lot of people. Just kicked them. Just right down to the nubbies. Let's not take it lightly. Let's just see it for what it is. That this is an opportunity in disguise, as Og says. I'll no longer be deceived by the cloth that it wears. I'll see it for what it is. Because it can be an opportunity should we make it one. What could we learn from this? Ramona made a comment today that was so beautiful, and I hope she'll be okay if I share it. We've been extremely busy in the office for the last couple of weeks. It's been just wild. Wonderful things. And it's caused, she's been working in the office and doing a lot of putting things together and scheduling appointments and helping with the shipping. And oh my goodness, practicums going all over the world. There's tons of them to Australia, for an example, for people to take the coaching program. It's been exciting to watch. But it's just overwhelming. And I know there have been days when Ramona's up at, well, I was up at 3:05 the other morning, and she was up right after me. So I know she's getting up early. and she'll work till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night sometimes. And sometimes she's called upon to do things that are uncomfortable. I think Ramona would be okay if I told you numbers aren't her favorite thing. Is that okay, sweetheart? So anything dealing with numbers is like, I love numbers. She doesn't love numbers. We're a great combination in that area. And I was coming back from a meeting today, and she had been on the phone with someone who was a psychiatrist that had read the book. Bought the 10 copies, read the book, it's kind of fun, and had called because she consumed it in one sitting. And she just wanted to talk to someone about her experience, so Ramona listened to her. And she shared, and then she discovered this was the Ramona that's in the book. That made the conversation even more tender. And when I called her as I was coming home from the meeting, I said, how are you doing? She said, sweetheart, and she shared with me this story. And then she said something so profound. I could feel this light in her voice. And she had so much to do today, it was unbelievable. There was this light in her voice. She said, it's really important that when we're in these moments where we can be overwhelmed or frustrated, that we apply the principles. Like, hear it in her voice. I could feel her saying, okay, which one do I need to live right now? And she was applying one of these principles. She was finding joy in this journey, in this moment. What can I learn from this? How could I grow? How could I stretch? How? She's doing things now she would have never dreamt of doing in the past. Easier and easier, because she's been willing to stretch. And just hearing that tenderness, I hung up the phone. I'm driving in the car going, wow. So grateful to have these in my life. So grateful to have her in my life. So grateful to have her embracing them in her life. It's time for all of us not to just come to a coaching session and go, that was really inspirational, I felt good about that. The only thing that really matters is in the moment, when we're dealing with the frustration, we choose to be conscious right then. Wow. Maybe we laugh a little bit, put some humor into it. Step back from it, catch our breath. What am I learning? Did my decision create this? If so, I'm going to make a different decision. If this is just one of life's experiences, then I'm going to take it on and learn from it and become a better person. So next time I face one like this one, it'll be a bump in the road. Just be a speed bump. I'll feel it, but it won't be a big deal. This one's a brick wall. I could turn brick walls into speed bumps. That means I'm more capable of handling even bigger brick walls. I turn those into speed bumps. And guess what happens? As we grow, being able to handle ever-increasing levels of stress, we have greater and greater opportunities opened up to us. Because I can tell you, there is a living God, a loving and living God. I'll tell you what, He will never, never give you a door of opportunity that's too much for you to handle. Now, this is going to sound like a Sunday school class for a moment, but I'm just going to go there. It's felt impressed to. We often want the reward without becoming the person who could handle what comes with it. It's in those moments that we're being refined and prepared for greater and greater levels of success. Why would we fight the opportunity? Why? Here's our opportunity. To grow, stretch, be able to handle those ever-increasing levels of stress. This is part of the reason why we study joy and sorrow. They're inseparable. It is the sorrow that very literally prepares us for the very success we desire. When we can frame it that way, we may not really love the experience, but we'll see purpose in it. That's a promise. And somebody's going to say, yes, but David, you don't understand. I don't want to minimize what you're going through. At all. I just want to invite you to maybe look at it just a little differently tonight. And find a little bit more joy in the sorrow because of what it could do for you should you choose not to resist and resent and rebel and be angry. Okay, enough on that. Let's move to the next one. The next one is sitting next to me. I think one of the greatest sources of joy is friendship. It's having a good friend. And to have a good friend, we must be a good friend. In a relationship, that's called a partnership. Now, a partnership is really means joint heirs. A partnership means joint heirs. And legally a partnership is defined as equal and several liability. What that means is, you've got two partners, let's say 50-50 partners. That's a relationship. They're 50-50 partners. It's bilateral. Both have equal rights, equal voting, equal decision-making powers. This can be really hard when there's a domineering partner in the partnership. This can be very hard when someone sees their role as more important than the other person. This can be tough. Oh, some relationships need to work on this a bit, but equal in the decision making. Several means each partner is completely responsible for the entire partnership. Now, we see this in a legal application. When a partner dies and the remaining partner is responsible not for 50% of the debts, but all of the debts. They have equal and several liability. This is an interesting thing in a partnership. So conversely, we both have total responsibility for success and total accountability for failure. That's a partnership. Now, in this partnership, I want to introduce three words to you to consider. Those three words are commitment, trust, and intimacy. Commitment, trust, and intimacy. We live in a really strange world. The next book, just so you know the title, Healing Self-Esteem, Embracing Your Intrinsic Goodness. Most of us spend a lifetime resisting, fighting against our intrinsic goodness. Like it's not in vogue or it's not cool. Thus, we do not know ourselves. Because the real us, when we step back from all of that stuff, it's been my experience that everyone has got just a sweet, tender, wonderful heart. There's a lot of conditioning, and there's a lot of challenges, there are a lot of problems, and some of them are even criminal. Some are behind bars. But when you weed through all of that stuff and you get back to that childlike heart, they're just good people. What would happen if we embraced our goodness? And we didn't talk about political correctness. We just chose to honor people. See, commitment in a relationship is commitment at every level, financially, emotionally, spiritually. It means that your eyes, and I'll speak to the men for a moment, your eyes are completely, totally, solely focused on your companion. The world would want you to think something different. Oh, you get the First Amendment rights to go look at pornography, and I just look at it for the whatevers. Good luck, men. Good luck. I had an experience that was so profound a week ago. An assessment done on a client, a new one done that morning, and it was awful. This person was in so much pain. Why? She found her husband's pornography that night before. If we had any idea what wandering eyes do to a woman, we would never want to do that to them. There's a happy ending to that story. But for now, just know that commitment means everywhere. All of our passion, all of our love, all of our attention. If that's our commitment, we listen to the vows we take in a marriage, that's what we say. Does the rubber meet the road? Do we actually do it? My invitation to you tonight, if you want to have joy, real joy, I mean the kind that just makes you want to cry with joy, warm tingles down your spine kind of joy, hold somebody in your arms and weep kind of joy, feeling such a connection to your own being and to that person's being, intimacy that is so incompletely complete. It starts right here with complete commitment. Consider it. It's not a religious issue. Religions happen to teach these issues. It's a principle that when we treat people as objects, we miss out. When we treat a spouse as our soul person, this is our person. This is our lover. This is our queen or king. This is it. We open up a door into a room that very few people find. Just never find it. It's a sweet, sweet place. Because that level of commitment builds a concept called trust. Stephen M. Markovi wrote the book, The Speed of Trust. He talks about the pillars of integrity and intention, ability and results, all coming from commitment. There's something really incredible in a relationship where there is complete complete trust. Because when two partners can completely trust each other and individually trust themselves, another door opens. And we step into the door of intimacy, tenderness, unspeakable joy. This is joy in the journey. Joy is not in treating life as a sporting event. Joy is playing life at that level, embracing our intrinsic goodness, showing up as a kind human being, loving, considerate, outwardly focused. That's where the joy comes from. So that's the third place. Next. This was an interesting one. It's called finding meaning and purpose, because quite often we are trying to find joy based on what we're doing. And it's been my experience that this kind of joy comes more from how we do life than what we do for a living. How do we live it? More how we live it than about making a living. We talk about the greener grass. You know, sometimes people will go around the world looking for joy. Now, I don't want to discount serving people around the world. That's really important. Contributing, serving, going, all those things are so important. But sometimes we can do it at the expense of the need right in our own backyard. We're looking beyond the mark for something that will fill the void in our soul. And when we get over there, we find out that all the things that cause challenges here, our thought processes, we brought them all with us. They're in our bags. We carried them right on the plane with us. We went to the far reaches of the jungle, and there they were. We unpacked them and put them right there in our tent. And it's not long, and we're miserable there too. It's not what we do. It is how we do it. I'd like everybody tonight to try something. I want you all to fall back in love with what you're doing for a job. Now, for some of you, that's a job where you leave and either have an office in your home, a carpet commute, and you might do real estate or something from your home. Some of you go to an office. Some of you are full-time parents, like a mom or a dad, a stay-at-home mom or dad. Whatever it is that you do with your day, I just want you to reflect for a moment. And imagine what it would be like tomorrow if you woke up with the decision to just have the greatest day of your life. What would it be like? What would happen? Great discovery. I think it's a great discovery, and that is that it takes more energy to go half speed than it does to go all out. It takes more energy to go half speed, to hold back. It's like when I played football. When you went full speed, you met force with force and everything's fine. Oh, could you get hurt? Certainly. But if you go half speed in real life, in full contact life, you will get busted up. Absolutely. It takes more energy to hold back than it takes to go full speed. And what happens when we're holding back? We might be saying, well, they don't respect me. They don't honor what I do. So what do? We don't honor what we do. They don't pay me enough, so I only do enough equal to what they pay me. And so we're determining what that would look like. That's quite often the plight of the American worker. We're in a society where we check in, check out, and kind of go through the motions. It's a sad place, but it's part of why we're in the trouble we're in. What would happen if we showed up and we brought all of us, all of our talents, gifts, ideas, energy to the workplace, no matter what they're paying us, no matter whether they recognize us or not, whether they appreciate what we're doing? We do it not for them, we do it for ourselves. We do it so all of us can show up, so that we can spend the day with us, the real person, that intrinsically good person, the one that's capable, who's using that capacity to its fullest. That leaves us with a sense of accomplishment that comes from an embracing of our true self, being genuine, embracing our own genius, our genius. So fall back in love with what you do. Don't hold back. Some of you have part-time jobs. You have home-based businesses. that you want to build. And I can tell you what happens. When you hold back for the day, it's exhausting. You know, I don't want to do as much. Or I need to save some energy. You don't save energy. There's no such thing. And we get home and we sit down in that easy chair and we turn on the television. We're going to watch just for a couple of minutes. Before you know it, it's midnight. We're asleep on the couch. And then we're promising ourselves, you know, I'll do that business tomorrow night. I'll make those phone calls tomorrow night. Except for tomorrow, it's still today. And we're still exhausted from work. We don't get over the exhaustion. And part of the reason we don't get over it is the way in which we show up in it. Go through a day coming uncorked. Just give your all. And when you come home, see how you feel. See if you don't feel energized, positive, excited. More likely to do the rest of the work to build your other business, if you have one. And if not, to show up for those friends and family in your life. It's interesting to know that those who have very active lives often show up that way in everything they do. There's no time when they're holding back. They don't know what it means. So let us all fall back in love. I don't want this to be an indictment, by the way. That's not really the purpose. It's just for us to reflect on this. We want joy in the journey. Let's not focus on the paycheck or the recognition. Let's focus on how we're showing up. Not so people can see us, so we can see ourselves. We can feel our own energy and create something magnificent. And it's been my experience, again, that when people show up that way, you get noticed. You do. Not because you're trying to, because you do. And you'll find out one of two things. One, you didn't like what you're doing because of the way you are showing up. Or two, you're doing the wrong thing. That can be true. And it may be time to make a change. But don't change until you've shown up fully in what you're doing for several weeks and months. And see what happens. You may discover, as most do, the joy comes in how they show up and what they do. Not just what they do. Everybody got this so far? This is joy in the journey. Joy in the journey is taking our clay. Big decision tonight. I'm going to own my clay. I mean, the option is I can flounder and wallow, or I can own my clay. Those are our two options. I'm going to choose to own. Then I'm going to take it and make the most I can with it. I'm going to realize along this journey I'm going to bump into some sad moments, but I'm going to look at them differently. I'm not going to be deluded by the cloth they wear. I'm going to see the opportunity, whether that was purposely put there for me because of a decision I've made, or whether I can just find good in and learn from it. I'm going to become the person. You don't become easily. You become in the furnace of adversity. That's how we become the person who can handle ever-increasing levels of stress to have greater and greater opportunity opened up to us. So we're going to choose to do that. Three, in our relationships, let's focus on being better partners. We sometimes want to focus on fixing our partners. We want a better partnership. Let us be better partners. Now, all bets are off if you're in an abusive relationship. That's get some assistance, please. You don't want to be serving in an abusive relationship because that creates all kinds of challenges. I'm not a therapist. I'm not qualified to go there with you. But just get some help from someone who does know. But what I do know, most relationships can sometimes feel abusive just because we need to be right and they need to be right and we're always having loggerheads and challenges, etc. And all of a sudden we show up and we just listen. When is it my turn, we might want to say. Well, when you listen, the walls come down, the cooperation does flood out if we're actually showing up to serve. Let us be better partners in our partnership. Let us be 100% committed. Let's try it. If you've got any habits in your life that would suggest something different, make the decision this week to do something different. Spend some time looking at your spouse, watching them sleep. Write them a little note. Give them a little extra hug. Pull the chair out for them at the table. Open the door for them when they climb in the car. Do a few little things. Just get reconnected with what you did to win somebody's heart. And now do it to keep their heart alive. See the trust. the intimacy that follows. Now, if they're a little skeptical, they're going, what's this all about? Something wrong? You know, do you want something? Just know that it's a great indication that we probably haven't been doing enough of it. If they're a little suspicious when we are that way, say, no, I've just decided to just absolutely pour all of my soul into you. I just love you. Watch what happens. Wow. Now, if there have been some issues in a relationship that have damaged trust, give it some time. It won't get fixed in a week. It didn't get broken apart in a week. Just give a little time. In time, things can heal. So you can have that relationship. And lastly, finding meaning and purpose in what you're doing. Fall back in love with what you're doing. I can almost feel the resistance coming through the screen. Ah, David, don't tell me to do that. And do it for you. Just do it for you. So that you can meet yourself. You can spend the day with you and not with these voices that are trying to hold you back. Be with you. Be you all day. And see how you feel when you come home. Practice these things. Now, in terms of a scroll, there are some good ones to read that apply to this principle. I'll give you a couple. Scroll number 3, I'll persist until I succeed. You know, small deeds repeated can accomplish anything. That if I should be captured by despair, I'll work on in despair. I'll work and I'll toil. I'll keep my eyes on the goal above my head, for I know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. Sometimes we're in the dry desert for a while, but we know. When it ends, there'll be green grass. So we push forward. We learn these skills as the mariner learns his by writing out the wrath of every storm. That's a powerful sentence. It's a little teeny paragraph. I will master these things the same way the mariner does. You can teach boating on dry land, but you'll learn how to be a captain in the wrath of the storm. So when we're feeling that wrath, let us show up. So that's scroll number 3. Have a great time with this one. The last one is scroll number 10, salesman's prayer. This is really a tender example of how we should ask. Because we're always pleading. When things aren't going well, Og makes no excuse. He said, who in a moment of disaster or despair, something beyond their normal experience, doesn't cry out, you know, help? We cry out, but sometimes our cry just can't be answered because we're not going to get rescued. We're not going to ask for gold or garments or petty victories. We're not asking for an innkeeper to bring us food or provide us a room. Let us seek to gain ability. That can always be answered. And seek not for gold or garments, even opportunity. Instead, I seek to acquire ability equal to the opportunity. I watch people who practice this art of becoming, who just seem to have more opportunity than they know how to handle in the middle of a recession. Because they paid the price to become. They've acquired the ability. They see it. Other people don't. They're all buried in despair and discouragement and wondering why the universe isn't just giving it to them. I mean, they've got intention. They've got the fantasy fairy thing going. They've been in that easy chair just really focused on that Lamborghini, and it's not showing up, and it's not fair. Maybe God doesn't even love me. The other person is totally focused on acquiring ability, becoming the person. They get the opportunity. That's where it's to be found. That's where the gold nuggets are. We don't ask for the gold. We ask for the ability to see where to mine it. That will always be answered. So have fun with Scroll 10. Take this on this week. And next week, we're going to take on self-esteem, the last of the 6 qualities. We save it for last because we want to remove as many obstacles through connection and mental rehearsal and physical creation and discipline and structure and joy in the journey. But there are still a few left. Specifically related to and as a result of experiences in our lives. So we're going to take those on next week. So come prepared next week to take on self-esteem. This week, spend some time with Scroll 3 or Scroll 10. And I won't review again because I have already. Let's take this on. Let's see if we can't get a smile partway through the week, even in the middle of a firestorm. Thanks, everyone.